morning on WCHL. The 2014 race for U.S. Senate in North Carolina was one of the most contentious, certainly one of the most negative, and easily the most expensive in the country. And we will see it all over again in 2016.
It will be interesting to see if the North Carolina Senate race really ends up being one of the close ones in 2016.
Beginning next July, a new federal law will require colleges and universities to report statistics on sexual assault, domestic violence, and stalking both on and off campus. And the large mixed-use development proposed for the northern end of Chapel Hill is set for public comment when the Chapel Hill Town Council gets together tonight. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of the traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, Carolina men's basketball team down Robert Morris 103-59 Sunday night in the Smith Center to improve to 2-0 on the year. The women are also 2-0. And
Carolina's defense won another football game over the weekend.
That's this morning in Archansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
707, 44 degrees in Chapel Hill. It is really nippy out there this morning just because of the cold rain. We have some light rain coming down. We also have some dense fog. In fact, a dense fog advisory in effect. We have a 100% chance of more rain today. Not so cool in the afternoon. Our high today up in the low 60s, but again, a 100% chance of the rain continuing to come down. The 2014 race for U.S. Senate in North Carolina was one of the most contentious, certainly incredibly negative, and easily the most expensive in the entire nation. And we will see it all over again in 2016 as Republican Richard Burr's seat comes up for grabs. Where does Burr stand heading into the election? Which Democrats might pose the strongest challenge for him? And nationwide, who are the most vulnerable senators and the leading contenders for the Republican presidential nomination? WCHL's Aaron Keck spoke last week with public policy polling director Tom Jensen about all those possibilities.
Out of the senators up in 2016 who we've taken an early look at their approval numbers, the two with negative approval ratings are Marco Rubio in Florida has a minus one approval rating, and Michael Bennett in Colorado has a minus five approval rating. So those may be two of the most vulnerable ones. But one person who's pretty far down the list when it comes to their approval rating is our own Richard Burr. Mm-hmm. He has a 33% approval rating, 28% disapproved. So it'll be interesting to see if the North Carolina Senate race really ends up being one of the close ones in 2016.
And that leaves a lot of people out there, about 40%, right, who don't have an opinion one way or the other.
Yeah, Richard Burr is really one of the lower-profile senators in the country. Pretty much what we found about him ever since he took office is about a third of voters approve of the job he's doing, about a third disapprove, and about a third don't have an opinion about him one way or the other. And what that means is that Burr is really sort of susceptible to the political winds. It's a good Republican year like it was, both when he was first elected in 2004 and when he got reelected in 2010, then he really, I think, should be in pretty decent shape. But he's not so popular that if it's a strong Democratic year, he'll necessarily be able to survive that. So he and Kay Hagan both really are sort of senators whose fate are at the mercy of the political climate. And as we saw this year with Kay Hagan, it was a bad Democratic year. She didn't make it. It could be the same sort of situation for Burr in 2016.
And are there, and we're speaking with Tom Jensen, by the way, public policy polling, are there Democrats in North Carolina who would pose a stronger challenge to Richard Burr? I know one of the most prominent Democrats is Roy Cooper, and he's sort of locked into the governor's race. Who else is out there?
Well, there's been a whole lot of discussion this week about whether Kay Hagan might be willing to run against Richard Burr and get right back into the fray. So it's sort of hard to see whether that's going to be something that she's interested in doing, but that's certainly an interesting option to think about for Democrats. I think the other name that a lot of Democrats are really thinking about as a potential challenger to Richard Burr is State Treasurer Janet Cowell. But it's interesting that even after 6 years in office, Cal only has about 30% statewide name recognition. So
that is Public Policy Polling Director Tom Jensen speaking with WCHL's Aaron Keck. There's a lot more to that interview. You can hear it on our website at chapelburra.com. You can find Public Policy Polling's very latest numbers online as well at publicpolicypolling.com. A large mixed-use development proposed for the northern end of Chapel Hill is up for public comment when the Chapel Hill Town Council meets tonight. It's called The Edge. It's planned for 53 acres on Eubanks Road, adjacent to the town's park and ride lot. Developer Northwood Raven proposes 23 buildings ranging from 1 to 7 stories. The site will include a mix of retail and commercial space with between 400 and 700 residential units. Up to 50 of those could be affordable rentals subsidized using tax credits. The site has been earmarked for economic development since 2008. The current plan proposes more square footage on a smaller parcel than the original Edge concept put forward by another developer in 2011. The public hearing starts at 7 o'clock tonight in council chambers at Town Hall. The town of Carrboro is considering nearly $900,000 worth of updates and improvements to the town commons. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Town commons is one of our centerpieces. It's starting to be used, I think, more and more with some of our special events we've had there, some of the big concerts and our growing number of festivals. And of course, its genesis was in the farmers market when we moved over there many years ago.
That's Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle. Last Tuesday, the Board of Aldermen was presented with a plan in three phases to update town commons for the first time since the mid-90s. Updates back then gave birth to the pavilions and gazebos that citizens now enjoy. A recent town study that included a survey resulted in a new plan that would cost between $800,000 and $900,000. Lavelle said she's excited about the proposed changes.
One iteration of, I think it's phase two, is to split the far parking lot into two smaller lots and create an area where we can have kind of a stage area.
She added there could be movies on the lawn and stages could be erected for musical performances. Preservation of the green area is also a priority. Lavelle said the turf on the commons really takes a beating as the area sees more and more use. She added that another goal is to make it easier to just walk around in the commons. Phase 3 actually involves reconfiguring the access road off Main Street to the farmer's market. Right now, drivers come in through Laurel Avenue, wind around for a bit, and then awkwardly maneuver their way in front of Town Hall or behind the back. Lavelle said it would be great to get rid of a little island there that serves no real purpose.
So there's a way to clean that up and come up with some more green space and with some more area there that would look nice.
The Board of Aldermen liked that idea so much, there's talk of folding Phase 3 into Phase 1. Lavelle said the Board of the Farmers Market will join the funding effort. The town of Carrboro is also seeking continuing input from citizens through its website.
Part of it is kind of bringing it back sometime after the new year and taking any more public comment, perhaps even getting some more public comment on the internet now that we have a design for people to comment on.
The next step will be to begin phasing in improvements. You can find a link to the Town of Carrboro site in this story at chapelburra.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
North Carolina Democratic Party Chair Randy Voller is not seeking re-election for another two-year term. The former Pittsburgh mayor made the announcement on Saturday at the party executive committee meeting in Chatham County. That committee narrowly elected Voller back in 2013, and he's focused on building local party organizations with the Democrats in the minority in state government. He took heat for the firing of party executive director Robert Dempsey, and when the first vice chair resigned, citing disagreements with Voller. He's also taken a lot of heat because Democratic U.S. Senator Kay Hagan lost to Republican Tom Tillis. Current first vice chair Patsy Kiever has said she's seeking Voller's job. Voller says he doesn't want the February election to be solely a referendum on the chairman's job. And an exhibit at the North Carolina Museum of History focuses on the administration of Republican Governor Jim Martin, who was first elected 30 years ago. The exhibit, entitled The Martin Years, 1985 to 1993, features personal and historical items associated with Martin and his wife, Dottie. Martin was the state's first two-term Republican governor. The Martins donated more than 50 items to the museum collection last month, and some are included in this exhibit. Among them, a Salvation Army tuba that Martin played since the mid-1990s, and the suit that Dottie Martin wore to her husband's second inauguration back in 1989. That free exhibit continues through January 4th. WCHL News Time, 7:15. Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. Traffic sponsored by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. And ladies and gentlemen, here she is, 29 years old and one day. She celebrated a birthday over the weekend, Nikki Morse.
Thanks a lot, Ron, and I will take that.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah, absolutely. We have some dense fog out there and just in patches, so just be a little careful if you're going to be out in the roadways. That advisory going on until about 9 this morning. No problems to report so far. 54 eastbound delay free from Fordham Boulevard to 40. And if you have an early morning flight, looks like you get there in time. 40 eastbound in good shape from 15501 through the airport exits. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
I'm just speculating here, but I hope the fog doesn't delay any flights or anything like that. It's kind of thick out there.
I have no idea what they do as far as the airport's concerned, yeah. But hopefully that would not be the case.
Flying out early in the morning is tough enough as it
mm-hmm.
is. So anyway, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Fog was really thick when I was driving in this morning, and also there's that cold, it's almost like that cold Kentucky rain Elvis Presley sang about. You know?
That's a great song.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
And also, it's like a rainy night in Georgia.
We're going to just travel the whole United States here.
Exactly right. I mean, it really is a cold rain, so yeah. Be ready for that when you go out there. And, Nikki, we'll talk to you in just a little while here.
Sounds good.
Cruisers Convenience Marketplace is where you can get fountain drink perfection daily, made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees over their famous chewy ice, guaranteed to taste great, and only 79 cents at Cruisers. Good to go. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, presented by the Carolina Inn. It looks like this. It is 44 degrees this morning, 43 in Carborough, where it's always a degree cooler. And we have a dense fog advisory in effect right now. Showers all day today. 100% chance of showers. Not as cool, though. Our high today up in the low 60s, which is not so bad. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of showers, and then clearing after midnight. Much colder with a low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, we're looking at sunshine. Much cooler temperatures with highs only in the upper 30s. Go to the Carolina Inn. Check it out. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a wonderful place to eat gourmet cuisine at the Carolina Inn on the edge of the beautiful UNC campus. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Beginning next July, a new federal law will require colleges and universities to report to six on sexual assault, domestic violence, and stalking both on and off campus. Here in Chapel Hill, university officials are planning ahead. UNC included all of that data in its 2014 report as well, which came out last month. Elise McLothan reports for Carolina Connection.
UNC's Department of Public Safety released its annual campus security report in October. The report indicates that in 2013, 5 cases of dating violence, 4 incidents of domestic violence, and 14 stalking cases occurred on campus. Kelly Raker is the Sexual Violence Prevention Coordinator in the Office of Student Wellness. She explains that dating and domestic violence fall under the larger umbrella of interpersonal violence.
When we talk about that, it can mean physical, sexual, emotional, economic, psychological, basically threats or actions that someone's going to find intimidating or frightening or terrorizing or threatening. So oftentimes this happens in relationships, and it could be an intimate relationship, but also could happen between roommates or a parent to a child or kind of different kinds of relationships as well.
DPS spokesman Randy Young said the information was included this year due to federal law. The Violence Against Women Act stipulates that information on dating violence, domestic violence, and stalking be included in the report. Young says the difference between domestic and dating violence is subtle.
Dating violence could be in any two people that share in any kind of a level of intimate relationship. And a domestic situation or domestic violence reflects violence among people who are either habitating together or who may share a family member, such as a child.
Young says while the number of reported cases seem relatively low on a campus of over 29,000 students, the actual number of cases is probably higher because some students don't report that they've been victims of violence.
What we're working in all of these areas, whether it's the reporting of sexual offenses or whether it's the reporting of any violence, is that for the number of reported to approach and get closer and closer to the number that is actuality.
Students can report incidents to the Dean of Students' Office, Public Safety, or the Equal Opportunity and Compliance Office. Another place that students can go, their dorms. Residential advisors, or RAs, are also a resource for a student who has experienced this type of situation. Junior Alexis Robinson has worked as an RA for 2 years. During her training, she received information on how to deal with cases of sexual violence claims.
So what are you looking for?
I'm looking for some documents that we got during our RA training about what to do in situations of sexual violence on UNC campus. And it also has some of the resources that people could use that are confidential.
Robinson says her residents haven't informed her of any interpersonal violence. However, she says other RAs have heard about these types of situations.
My first year being an RA, I was told about an experience where there was a resident who experienced this kind of violence, like with a partner, somebody they were actually with, but it was just like an action they were not ready to participate in at the moment. But as RAs, we're not really allowed to share like any kind of details about things like that, but that is a general story I've heard.
Robinson says many times students won't talk to the appropriate person or anyone to seek help.
I feel like there's some shame with victims. I feel like sometimes they think it's their fault, so they keep it inside and don't talk about it. But I do think it's something that's really important. Like, even if it's just somebody that's your close friend, but preferably somebody who can actually get you help and get you the justice you deserve for crimes like that.
As DPS continues to collect more information in the upcoming years, Young says he hopes the data will reflect the total number of incidents,
so that we get a more accurate picture of what's out there.
After all, having accurate data is what makes the campus security report a vital tool in evaluating campus safety. In Chapel Hill, I'm Elise McLothian.
Carolina Connection is the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs on WCHL every Saturday morning at 8:30 during the school year. 7:22 at WCHL, time for championship sports. Carolina men's basketball team defeated Robert Morris last night in the Smith Center 103-59 to improve to 2-0. Big men Bryce Johnson and Kennedy Meeks led the Tar Heels on the scoreboard and on the glass. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
UNC head coach Roy Williams says he was encouraged by his team's improvement from Friday night's game and was especially pleased with the way the Tar Heels played in the paint.
Well, we were, I thought, much more active defensively tonight than we were Friday night. That seems like a long time ago. But then I think we turned those turnovers or their missed shots into the break better. Thought we also executed much better against their zone. We moved it better tonight. Our big guys can pass the ball, and we've done a nice job of that in practice. We didn't do it Friday night, but I thought we did tonight. We're more gifted than Robert Morris, but I think pleased with our effort. I thought we should be pleased with our attendance. And I think the biggest thing is early in the game, I think we dominated the boards.
UNC grabbed 49 rebounds. That's 18 more than their opponent Saturday night. Johnson led the Tar Heels scoring drive with 23 points and also snared 8 rebounds. The junior forward says Coach Williams has been stressing the need for the interior guys to impact the game significantly.
Kenny and myself were just exploding up there and be able to get it. That's the one thing Coach has been telling us. He's just been emphasizing us to be able to explode up there and be able to get the ball and grab it and be able to just go right back up with it. If you have like 3 guys on you, don't go right back up, because I mean, you're going to get it blocked by one of the 3 guys. But we just did a good job of keeping it high after we get the rebound and just be able to put it back up there.
As for Meeks, he hit blackjack, scoring 21 points and leading the team with 12 rebounds. The slimmed down sophomore says the Tar Heels plan on thriving on second chance opportunities this season.
He always says that's the most important part of the game is rebounding. This is just the second opportunities, like you said. I mean, it helps us get open shots on the perimeter. I mean, when they're knocking those down, it helps us get easy points down low. So, I mean, it all works out for everybody.
Coach Williams has high praise for the potential of this batch of Tar Heels. He says the team could be his best offensive rebounding squad ever. The UNC Hall of Famer was happy with Johnson and Meek Sunday, but he says the duo will need to be more consistent to truly have a dominant impact on the program like past Carolina greats.
You know, what we've got to do is see that over the course of a season. I thought last year those guys had some good games, some really good games every now and then, but it's got to be on a consistent basis, like Tyler Zeller and John Henson, you know, Tyler Hansbrough, Sean May. Those guys give it to you every night, and then it's difficult for the other team to play anything.
Marquise Reed topped the Colonial stat sheet, contributing 22 points to the losing cause. Next up for Carolina will come a road game in Charlotte at the Time Warner Cable Arena. That's next Saturday, November 22nd, against the Davidson Wildcats. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
In other news this morning on WCHL, Tar Heel women beat the number 23-ranked UCLA Bruins on Sunday afternoon in Carmichael Arena. With that victory, Carolina is now 2-0. Also, after scoring 30 points against UCLA a year ago, Alicia Gray still continues to shine in the basketball court and once again led her team in scoring with 19 points to go along with 6 rebounds. That is Bruin head coach Corey Close following her team's defeat at the hands of the Heels. Gray has been UNC's leading scorer in both games so far this season. Carolina will play its third consecutive home game against number 21 Oklahoma State Wednesday at 6 p.m. That game to be broadcast right here on WCHL. Of course, the Carolina football team got a win on Saturday over Pittsburgh, 40-35, an incredibly exciting game. And the Tar Heels now 5-5 in the season, 3-3 in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Not much time to celebrate because Carolina will be at Duke this Thursday night and a special game to be on national television. And Duke, of course, lost to Virginia Tech this past Saturday. Art will have more on the Carolina football team coming up. You might want to know that the Carolina Panthers lost again yesterday to the Atlanta Falcons. They got a 19-17 win over the Panthers on Sunday. Matt Bryant added 4 field goals yesterday for Atlanta. His 44-yard field goal with 2:08 left put Atlanta ahead for good. Falcons withstood a late Carolina rally. Carolina's Graham Gano missed a 46-yard field goal try with 1:27 remaining and had a 63-yarder blocked as time expired. Falcons are now 4-6, and they've moved into a tie with New Orleans for the division lead after the Saints lost at home to Cincinnati 27-10. It's amazing. It's such a mediocre division in the NFL. Cam Newton overcame 2 early interceptions to throw for 292 yards and a couple of fourth-quarter touchdowns in the comeback attempt, but it wasn't enough. The Panthers are now 3-6-1 after losing 5 straight. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Carolina's defense won another football game over the weekend. This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. You have to hand it to the Tar Heel defense. It gives up the most yards, first downs, and points in the ACC, but it has impeccable timing. For the second straight game in Keenan Stadium, Carolina's much maligned D gave the team's high-powered offense the time it needed to win in the waning seconds. It's almost like they do it on purpose. Remember a month ago in the shootout against Georgia Tech? Back and forth the game went when you thought the Yellow Jackets would have the ball last. Then our defense got completely faked out on a Tech double reverse and gave up a 75-yard touchdown run to fall behind by a point, 43-42. As bad as the defense looked in that play, it also allowed Marquise Williams and company 3 minutes to get on the field and score the winning TD with 11 seconds left. Sophomore T.J. Logan's first TD of the season. Fast forward to Saturday versus Pitt and the same scenario unfolded. Carolina fell behind 14-0 before blocking a field goal and mounting a comeback, despite more than 200 yards of rushing by Pitt's prototype NFL running back James Conner. When the Panthers got the ball trailing 34-28, you knew Conner would eventually score again for his 4th touchdown. The question was, how long would it take because time was running out? That opportunistic Tar Heel defense took little time in letting the Panthers and Conner rumble down the field. It even looked like they sort of kind of let Conner run the last 22 yards into the end zone. He was going to score anyway, so why not preserve precious time on the clock? The Tar Heels got the ball back with 3:33 showing, and it truly became a game of who had it last. Despite one dicey 4th-and-2 from the Pitt 30, Marquise moved Carolina to the shadow of the goal line on a 23-yard bullet across the middle to Quinshaw Davis. From there, Logan punched in his 2nd TD of the season, beating the Panthers the same way he did the Jackets a month earlier. You know what they say about life. It's all about timing. The Tar Heel defense may leave a lot to be decided otherwise, but like the old Beach Boys song says, it has good, good timing. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
And one more observation about that game. Marquise Williams is a warrior. He is amazing. It's 7:30 at WCHL.
The rugged Samsung Galaxy S5 Active, exclusively from AT&T, stands up to most everything. Falls into the shallow end? No problem. Falls into a mud puddle? A-OK.
falls into a deep fryer. That's a no-no. Drop it in a mop bucket. Fine. Drop it in the chili con queso. No problemo. Drop it in a garbage disposal. Yeah, that's a problem. Rain shower. No biggie. Meteor shower? That would be a... no.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. Make the most of this school year and get the Samsung Galaxy S5 Active for zero down with AT&T Next. Exclusive to AT&T, the Galaxy S5 Active is engineered for your active lifestyle. Visit att.com or store for details.
Device meets military standards for watering shock resistance, submersible to 3 feet for 30 minutes, rinse residue shock resistant for drops or falls less than 4 feet on flat surface. AT&T Next requires qualified installment agreement, credit, and wireless service. Taxes, other charges, and restrictions apply.
The Kennedy Dental Group has a brand new location at 1721 East Franklin Street in the iconic WC Hotel building across from the Eastgate Shopping Center. With their spacious new offices, Drs. Jeff Kennedy, Dick Wagner, and Leland Webb are now happily accepting new patients at their convenient location with plenty of free parking. Whether a returning patient or looking for a new dentist, the Kennedy Dental Group is ready for you. Call 919-967-9291 for an appointment or go online at KennedyDentalGroup.com.
Dickies has you covered for the holidays. Dickies has a limited number of smoked and Cajun fried turkeys along with honey barbecue ham. Let us add some or all of the fixings to help take some of the stress and work out of the holidays. Let Dickies cook and you take the credit. What can be easier than ordered online today at Dickies.com and pick up in Durham off Mount Moriah Road, Crossroads Cary, or downtown Raleigh in the Red Hat Tower. We sell out every year. Be the holiday hero and order today. Dickies, your local holiday and catering expert.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover weather, a cold rain this morning coming down out there. In fact, we have a 100% chance of rain all day today. We also have a dense fog advisory right now, so it's really kind of hard to see out there. Be careful. Allow yourself a little extra time if you can. We have 44 degrees right now, and look for a high today in the low 60s, which is not so bad, but that rain continuing tonight. Partly cloudy with a chance of rain and clearing after midnight. Our low tonight in the upper 20s, and then tomorrow is sunshine, much cooler with a high in the upper 30s.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
733 WCHL, 44 degrees in Chapel Hill. I'm Ron Stutz. A large use development proposed for the northern end of Chapel Hill is up for public comment tonight when the Chapel Hill Town Council meets. The Edge, as it's known, is planned for 53 acres on Eubanks Road, adjacent to the town's park and ride lot. Developer Northwood Raven proposes 23 buildings ranging from 1 to 7 stories in height. The site will include a mix of retail and commercial space with between 400 and 700 residential units. Up to 50 of those units could be affordable rentals subsidized using tax credits. The site, not far from I-40, has been earmarked for economic development since 2008. The current plan proposes more square footage on a smaller parcel than the original Edge concept put forward by another developer in 2011. The public hearing begins tonight at 7 o'clock in Council Chambers at Town Hall. The town of Carrboro is considering nearly $900,000 worth of updates and improvements to the town commons. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more on the story after you hear from Mayor Lydia Lavelle.
Town Commons is one of our centerpieces. It's starting to be used, I think, more and more with some of our special events we've had there, some of the big concerts and our growing number of festivals. And, of course, its genesis was in the farmers market when we moved over there many years ago.
That's Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle. Last Tuesday, the Board of Aldermen was presented with a plan in three phases to update Town Commons for the first time since the mid-90s. Updates back then gave birth to the pavilions and gazebos that citizens now enjoy. A recent town study that included a survey resulted in a new plan that would cost between $800,000 and $900,000. Lavelle said she's excited about the proposed changes.
One iteration of, I think it's phase two, is to split the far parking lot into two smaller lots and create an area where we can have kind of a stage area.
She added there could be movies on the lawn and stages could be erected for musical performances. Preservation of the green area is also a priority. Lavelle said the turf on the commons really takes a beating as the area sees more and more use. She added that another goal is to make it easier to just walk around in the commons. Phase 3 actually involves reconfiguring the access road off Main Street to the farmer's market. Right now, drivers come in through Laurel Avenue, wind around for a bit, and then awkwardly maneuver their way in front of Town Hall or behind the back. Lavelle said it would be great to get rid of a little island there that serves no real purpose.
There's a way to clean that up and come up with some more green space and with some more area there that would look nice.
The Board of Aldermen liked that idea so much, there's talk of folding Phase 3 into Phase 1. Lavelle said the Board of the Farmers Market will join the funding effort. The town of Carrboro is also seeking continuing input from citizens through its website.
Part of it is kind of bringing it back sometime after the new year and taking any more public comment, perhaps even getting some more public comment on the internet now that we have a design for people to comment on.
The next step will be to begin phasing in improvements. You can find a link to the Town of Carrboro site in this story at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The 2014 race for U.S. Senate in North Carolina, as we all know, was certainly one of the most contentious and one of the most negative and easily the most expensive in the entire country. And we will probably see it all over again in a couple of years as Republican Richard Burr's seat comes up for grabs. Where does Burr stand heading into the election? Which Democrats might pose the strongest challenge for him? And nationwide, who are the most vulnerable senators and the leading contenders for the GOP presidential nomination? WCHL's Aaron Keck asked those questions of public policy polling director Tom Jensen.
Out of the senators up in 2016 who we've taken an early look at their approval numbers, the two with negative approval ratings are Marco Rubio in Florida has a minus one approval rating, and Michael Bennett in Colorado has a minus five approval rating. So those may be two of the most vulnerable ones. But one person who's pretty far down the list when it comes to their approval rating is our own Richard Burr. Mm-hmm. He has a 33% approval rating, 28% disapproved. So it'll be interesting to see if the North Carolina Senate race really ends up being one of the close ones in 2016.
And that leaves a lot of people out there, about 40%, right, who don't have an opinion one way or the other.
Yeah, Richard Burr is really one of the lower-profile senators in the country. Pretty much what we found about him ever since he took office is about a third of voters approve of the job he's doing, about a third disapprove, and about a third don't have an opinion about him one way or the other. And what that means is that Burr is really sort of susceptible to the political winds. It's a good Republican year like it was, both when he was first elected in 2004 and when he got reelected in 2010, then he really, I think, should be in pretty decent shape. But he's not so popular that if it's a strong Democratic year, he'll necessarily be able to survive that. So he and Kay Hagan both really are sort of senators whose fate are at the mercy of the political climate. And as we saw this year with Kay Hagan, it was a bad Democratic year. She didn't make it. It could be the same sort of situation for Burr in 2016.
And are there, and we're speaking with Tom Jensen, by the way, public policy polling, are there Democrats in North Carolina who would pose a stronger challenge to Richard Burr? I know one of the most prominent Democrats is Roy Cooper, and he's sort of locked into the governor's race. Who else is out there?
Well, there's been a whole lot of discussion this week about whether Kay Hagan might be willing to run against Richard Burr and get right back into the fray. So it's sort of hard to see whether that's going to be something that she's interested in doing, but that's certainly an interesting option to think about for Democrats. I think the other name that a lot of Democrats are really thinking about as a potential challenger to Richard Burr is State Treasurer Janet Cal. But it's interesting that even after 6 years in office, Cal only has about 30% statewide name recognition. So really, once you get beyond Kay Hagan, Democrats are most likely going to be looking at a candidate who's not particularly well-known. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. When Kay Hagan got elected to the Senate in the first place in 2008, nobody really knew who she was, and that didn't keep her from winning. So you don't necessarily have to have somebody who starts out with a huge amount of name recognition.
And then turning up to the presidential race, I know you said last week that you were starting to look at numbers there, certainly with respect to the coming race for the Republican nomination in particular, as the Democratic race seems to be sort of set if Hillary Clinton decides to run after all. But where do things stand now as far as that goes?
We did eight state polls that we put results out for this week, and it was an interesting mix of findings about who Republicans want to be their candidate. In some states, Jeb Bush was the preferred person. In some states, it was Ben Carson, Chris Christie, and Mike Huckabee did pretty well as well. But really, what you saw is that there was a big mixture of findings across the board. It's a very different situation from the Democrats, where Hillary Clinton's the candidate of choice everywhere. When you look at the Republican field, it really is just sort of a hodgepodge of different people doing better in different places.
That is public policy polling director Tom Jensen speaking with WCHL's Aaron Keck. You can find PPP's latest numbers online at publicpolicypolling.com. 7:40 at WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz. Nikki Morse is here this morning and coming off a nationwide celebration of Nikki Morse's birthday.
Nationwide.
It's really kind of, well, you know, I'm bad. I'm nationwide.
And
she
sang that song
all weekend doing her ZZ Top impression. But, you know, I'm really glad that you can break it down and you can go nationwide and you can also get local.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm. I actually... now that I think about it, I have gone international as well.
Really?
Yeah, I have friends in Sweden.
Yeah?
That wished me happy birthday, yeah.
All right. Well.
Yeah, it was really nice. Very sweet of them.
Okay, well, very sweet of them.
Yeah. Oh, this is terrible.
Well, what is happening at chapelbro.com today?
Well, oddly enough, and this is strange that I just mentioned Sweden because, you know, Norway is right there on the border of it. And we have a great article by Jeff Danner about why Norwegians are burning trash. And they're not only burning their own, they're actually getting it imported from other countries. So it's kind of an interesting story and a take on electricity and how they're making it work for them and other places. So it's really quite an interesting story. So take a look at it. We've also got a couple of great photo galleries that on the UNC basketball, men's basketball games, one again against the NCCU team and again at Robert Morris. So check those out when you get a chance. All kinds of information on our website, chapelboro.com. So
yeah, they're 2-0 and Carolina women also 2-0.
Absolutely.
So
doing
cool.
Great.
Yeah, and
yeah.
Is there a photo gallery up yet from the football game on Saturday?
I believe there is a, there's definitely a story, so you can get more information on there. I didn't see a photo gallery yet, but don't be surprised if it's up there in the next few minutes. So.
Yeah, never know.
Yeah, and that's all I have for you today.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you're just busy celebrating your birthday all weekend and no time to prepare for the Chapelboro report.
There's so much going on in my life over the weekend. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, listen, stick around for a few minutes and we'll see if you can have time to get something together on traffic.
Oh, yeah. I'm on that. I'm on it.
Yeah, she's on it, folks. 7:43 at WCHL. Matt Bailey has today's commentary coming up next.
This is the time of year to take a moment and reflect on the things we care about. I'm Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill. For Subaru owners, that can be a long and satisfying list. Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of six charities during the annual Share the Love event, with Chapel Hill's PTA Thrift Shop as one of the donation choices. Because Performance Subaru understands Subaru owners, we are offering 10% discount on service when you bring 5 non-perishable food items to your appointment.
Wow!
Want a little extra to be thankful for this holiday season? Try adding to your Subaru family with a little wow factor, like a 2014 Subaru Impreza Wagon 2.0i for an amazing $169 per month.
Wow!
Subaru even has financing as low as 0.9% for up to 48 months on select models.
Stock number D4057 ELD01. 36-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. $39.99 due at signing includes tax, tag, and $649 dock fee. Based on MSRP of $22,734 and selling price of $21,400. $0 security deposit. Financing with approved credit. Take delivery before 11/30/2014.
The Subaru Share the Love event. Perform at Subaru.com.
The following 10 seconds of Yodeling Bacon is brought to you by Cameron's at 300 East Main Street in Carrboro. The previous 10 seconds of Yodeling Bacon was brought to you by Cameron's at 300 East Main Street in Carrboro. Cameron's, a gallery of gifts, jewelry, cards, toys, and highly entertaining off-the-wall stuff. Cameron's, a wonderland of gifts.
And he hits Davis 40 yards downfield. Touchdown!
What a huge grab. Let's see that again in slow motion.
Going up, feet are inbounds, and he's pulling out his phone to get a free rate quote from Geico?
So he could save hundreds of dollars on his car insurance.
While he pulls down the ball with the other hand. Phenomenal!
That was one for the highlight reel, folks.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
All right, 7:45 at WCHL. Good morning, it's Ron Stutz.
It's in Durham. Contrary to popular belief,
wait a minute. We know it's in Durham, but hang on a second. Matt Bailey has today's commentary on WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Matt Bailey. Let's say you wanted to start a business. And since you live in Chapel Hill, you'd really like to have your office space here in Chapel Hill. A couple of creative hotshots you want to hire tell you they want to work where you could walk to lunch or grab a craft beer after work, so you look for space near Franklin Street. You love the idea of taking the bus to work, but that accountant and Carrie you were hoping to hire tells you she's got to get her kid from preschool, and it's just too hard to get in and out of downtown Chapel Hill in time. So you look for space at the suburban office parks out near 15501 and I-40. The trees are nice, but the buildings are kind of frumpy, and you can't even walk to anything from there. Forget convincing potential employees that you're a fun place to work. Where would they even eat lunch? You're sharing your woes with a colleague who points out that more companies are moving to large open floor plans to encourage communication and collaboration. Everything you've seen in Chapel Hill has been kind of cramped and claustrophobic. Finally, you call a realtor who shows you the perfect office. It's in the center of the action, you can drive or take transit, it's open and airy, and it's in Durham. Contrary to popular belief, there are people who want to start businesses in Chapel Hill. And contrary to popular belief, there is office space for rent in Chapel Hill. The problem is, most of it isn't designed for how today's businesses work and isn't in environments where today's top talent want to work. There's a reason Durham's American Tobacco is renting space as soon as they can bring it online. And there's a reason Blue Cross Blue Shield is leaving their iconic building in Chapel Hill. If we're going to compete for tomorrow's businesses, we can't do it with yesterday's office space. This is Matt Bailey.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Jane McPherson, Cedars charter member since 2004. Here's what Jane had to say.
I have friends at all the local retirement communities, and they are most impressed with the fact that here at the Cedars, we have a car and driver at our disposal. But what I want to talk about now is financial stability, which we take very seriously here at the Cedars. People of our generation are conservative about how they treat the money they have earned. We don't like debt, either for ourselves individually or when we buy into a place. It goes against our values. It is a unique feature that the Cedars is entirely debt-free. Everything we pay goes toward our care and sustenance. Not a penny goes for debt service or interest on loans. And that is a major reason why the Cedars has been the right choice for us.
Thanks, Jane. To learn more about Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
Got a big idea for your small business? Durham Tech's Small Business Center offers a series of free seminars and low-cost courses in Durham and Orange counties designed to help you get started or help your existing company grow. Learn about writing business plans, dealing with finances and legal issues, even handling marketing and operations. To see a schedule of all available courses and to sign up, go to durhamtech.edu and search Small Business Center and get ready to do great things.
All right, time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you this morning by Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. And here she is, Nikki Morse.
Thanks a lot, Ron. Looks like traffic just starting to pick up. If you're heading out of the house, we do have a dense fog advisory until 9 o'clock. It's pretty patchy out there, so not really going to hamper your commute, but we do have wet roads as well, so use caution. 54 eastbound crowded in spots from Fordham Boulevard to 40, and 40 eastbound starting to fill up. Expect some crowded lanes between 751 and Highway 55. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Thank you so much. Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. Fuel up every morning with Cruiser's Fresh Brew Beans Cafe Coffee, Cappuccino, and Hot Chocolate. Make it your way every day. Guaranteed to taste great. Remember, that's Beans Cafe with a Z. Fuel up at Cruiser's. Good to go. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carboro weather brought to you by the Chapel Hill Carboro Chamber of Commerce. The Salute Community Heroes is on December 11th. Nominate somebody you know to receive recognition for their volunteerism and commitment to our community. Visit carolinachamber.org/salute. The deadline for nominees is November 19th, which is Wednesday, so better hurry. WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover Weather, dense fog advisory, rain in some spots this morning, pretty steady, slow, chilly rain, 100% chance of showers all day today. High today in the low 60s was not so bad, but that rain is a little nippy this morning. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of showers, and then clearing up after midnight tonight. Much colder, though, with an overnight low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, we're looking at sunshine, much cooler with the highs in the upper 30s. Tomorrow night, we're going to go all the way down to 18 degrees.
Ooh.
751 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Wayne Pond is cold just thinking about it, although
he is in his
thermostatically controlled perfect 68 degree household. How are you?
I'm saying, ouch, ouch, ouch. I'll tell you, at least the first part of that forecast is pretty bleak there, brother.
Yeah.
It's for a Monday, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of dreary out there this morning, and I didn't even realize it was raining when I walked outside this morning, and there you go. It's just a cold, steady rain. It's
that forecast, again, the first part of it, I got a word here that fits right in. The word of the day, Ron, is Sisyphean. Sisyphean. This is after the Greek king in mythology, Sisyphus, your first cousin down there in Rockingham. As I recall, at least that's the story I inherited. Sisyphean, S as in son or Sam or silly.
I'll tell you what, if you go to Rockingham and call anybody Sisyphus, you might get in a little trouble.
All those biker DJs have come after me, huh?
Well, yeah, bikers. I don't know about DJs. Yeah, you might have a problem, buddy.
All right, well, back to business here. Sisyphean. Sisyphean. Write that down. Be conscientious here, like Sisyphus himself. Sisyphean.
Yeah.
Is what you call an eponym, a word that derives from a name. And in this case, this is really kind of bleak. This is about the guy that pushed the rock up the hill day after day. And once he got it to the top, what would happen? Bam-o, the rock rolls right back down the hill. He has to push it up again.
Uh-huh.
And, Ron, I would never accuse you and your work of being Sisyphean, although there is a certain quality to it. You're just getting up every morning. But, Ron, what you do is righteous and positive, so that's what sets you apart from good old Sisyphus, okay?
Ain't that righteous, brother.
It is. All right, Sisyphean, there is your word of the day, S-I-S-Y. Sisyphean, and because it's named for, it derives from the name of a person, that first S is capitalized just to put the final flourish there when you give away the Mercedes-Benz in another hour, huh?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Hey, thank you, buddy.
Well, listen, despite Sisyphus and the weather forecast, have a pleasant day.
Oh, by the way, when I said a moment ago, ain't that righteous brother?
Yeah.
Do you know that's how the righteous brothers got their name?
Is somebody said that to them?
They were singing the song, and one of them, and I don't recall which, looked at the other one and said, listening to their harmonies, and one of them said, "Ain't that righteous, brother?"
All right.
And
Ron's the only one who can tell you their names. Bill something and what? What's the other guy's name?
Bill Medley and Bobby Hatfield.
There you go. I knew you'd come through me, King. For me, King Sisyphus.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, have a good one. Talk to you in the morning. Be good. Bye-bye.
All right, man. Have a good day. That is Wayne Pond with the Word of the Day on WCHL. Brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I have no idea.
Next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers because that's how we roll. And now for the clean joke of the day on WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, to do the honors, here is Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Well, during the wedding rehearsal, the groom approached the pastor with an unusual offer. He said, "Look, I'll give you $100 if you'll change the wedding vows. When you get to the part where I'm supposed to promise to love, honor, and obey and be faithful to her forever, I'd appreciate it if you just leave that out." passes the minister a $100 bill and walks away feeling pretty good about himself.
Uh-huh.
On the day after the wedding, when the time for the groom's vows, the pastor looked at the young man in the eye and said, "Will you promise to prostrate yourself before her, obey her every command and wish, serve her breakfast in bed every morning of your life, and swear eternally before God and your lovely wife that you will never, ever even look at another woman as long as you both shall live?" The groom gulps, looks around, and says in a tiny voice, "Yes." And then he leans towards the pastor and hisses, "I thought we had a deal." Pastor puts a $100 bill in the groom's hand and whispers, "She made me a better offer."
Oh, by the way, I hate those wedding vows where, you know, do you promise to obey and you promise to, I don't know. I have a real problem with that, especially the ones where the woman is vowing to always be subservient. I hate those.
I think they've actually taken those out.
Well, some people still do it.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
geez.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's why I'm single.
Yeah, it's probably not the only reason either.
Hey!
All right, 756 in WCHL.
Performance BMW in Chapel Hill is kicking off the holiday season with an up to $3,500 holiday credit on select BMWs. I'm Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance BMW in Chapel Hill. With BMW's Happier Holiday event and a holiday credit up to $3,500, this holiday season truly will be the happiest in history. Hurry into Performance BMW for the Happier Holiday event and lease a new 2015 BMW 320i for $344 per month. That's the ultimate driving machine with ultimate service that includes free maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles for $344 per month. Wow! Happy holidays from Performance BMW in Chapel Hill. Visit our virtual showroom at performancebmwatchapelhill.com.
Stock number B5239. 39-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. Based on MSRP of $39,500 and selling price of $36,250 with $22,32 due at signing. Excludes tax, tag, and 649 admin fee. Dealer retains holiday credit. Financing with approved credit through BMW FS. See dealer for details. Take delivery before November 30th, 2014. Visit BMWUSAUltimateService.com for more details.
BMW is the ultimate driving machine. 2014 Center of Excellence. Wow!
As presenting sponsor of the 2014 Battle for Atlantis contest, Continental Tire is sending two lucky UNC fans to the Bahamas to cheer on your Tar Heels. Let Continental Tire get you to the game with its award-winning Eco Plus technology that gains you miles and saves money. From the all-new True Contact to the Cross Contact LX20, Continental Tire has a tire that's right for you. To find a retailer near you, visit ContinentalTire.com. Continental Tire, for what you do.
Hi, I'm Mark Vitale from All About Insurance Nationwide in Chapel Hill. Thanks to more than 25,000 satisfied customers, we have built one of Nationwide's largest agencies. The most cost-effective way to cover all insurance needs is through one company and one agent. We are that agency. Call us today at 919-933-4000 or stop by Nationwide Square at 1289 North Fordham Boulevard and let one of our experienced agents give you a free consultation. We know all about insurance, so you don't have to.
Are you looking for new customers? Try Our Local Deal, brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With Our Local Deal, your company is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the website at OurLocalDeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit OurLocalDeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
Hey, a little bit chilly out there this morning, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's a kind of a cold, cold rain. 100% chance of rain all day today. The forecast, by the way, brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. We have a dense fog advisory that remains in effect. We have a 100% chance of showers all day today. Not as cool. Our high today in the low 60s, so it's actually going to feel pretty good later on in the day. But tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of rain showers in the evening. Then it will clear up after midnight. Much colder with a low tomorrow, or a low tonight, rather, in the upper 20s, and tomorrow's high only in the upper 30s. Dickie's Barbecue Pit. That's where you can order your honey barbecue ham, smoked or Cajun fried turkey online today at dickies.com before they're gone. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
ISIS brutality.
They killed a wonderful person.
The DEA and NFL players.
Questions about drugs and what they were taking them for.
Updating an iconic charity song.
How can they know it's Christmas time?
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. President Obama called the latest murder of an American by ISIS pure evil, and the parents of former Army Ranger and aid worker Peter Kasich say they're heartbroken but proud of the work he did. Kasich's former roommate Michael Downey says he was warm and dedicated.
He just had the biggest smile and the biggest heart, and it didn't matter if he didn't know you. Right away, he could connect with people.
Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says Kasich's beheading only strengthens American resolve.
It reminds us again of the brutality of these people. We will degrade and will ultimately defeat these people.
Kasich's murder underlines the ISIS campaign to shock and seize money and resources. Live to CBS's Vicky Barker.
The group has been seizing aid intended for Syrian civilians and then using it to feed its fighters and their families, or handing it out under its own imprint in an attempt to win over public sentiment in the areas it controls. The Wall Street Journal says the U.S. among those who've scaled back some of their efforts in the region as a result. Others continue to send food and medicine and materiel in the hopes some of it will reach those who need it most. Steve?
For three teams after the NFL action ended yesterday, another drama took shape as drug enforcement agents showed up unannounced. Here's CBS's Heather Bosch.
DEA agents spot-checked three visiting teams, apparently chosen at random.
Wilson rolling right. Now he throws to the end zone. Touchdown!
The Seattle Seahawks on Fox there, the San Francisco 49ers, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. CBSSports.com's Jason LaConfora says what they were looking for.
Which players were taking which painkillers and why, and where was the documentation for that?
And they wanted to make sure properly licensed doctors, not trainers, were handing out those controlled substances. Federal agents began investigating after former players filed a lawsuit alleging widespread abuse of painkillers in the NFL.
The lawyer hired by General Motors to handle compensation for defective ignition switches is adding another month for people to file claims. They'll now have till the end of January. 32 families have been selected for compensation so far. The news is not good, at least not now, for the surgeon who got Ebola in Sierra Leone and is being treated at a Nebraska hospital. CBS's Carter Evans.
We know that this patient was in worse conditions than prior patients who've been brought into the U.S. Doctors do say he is in extremely critical condition, and CBS News has learned that he has been put on a ventilator to help him breathe.
One doctor says it's an hour-by-hour situation. A norovirus outbreak hit a cruise ship that returned to Southern California yesterday. More than 170 got sick on the Crown Princess during a month-long trip. The ship was cleaned, and this woman and others set off on the next trip.
They don't want people on a second time around to get sick. So I feel pretty safe that they've done what they need to do to stop it.